Today we heard one of Jesus' most well-known parables, beloved all over the world. People of different cultures other than our own, notice different details from what we see. Isn't that interesting how we all see different things in a story? You know, even our familiar title for the parable reflects our culture's values. The prodigal son, that wasteful kid. You know, that's what we see, that's what our whole view of the story emphasizes, is how wasteful this character is. And it overlooks a lot of other detail in the story, doesn't it? Well, I've been imagining the story, what it would be like to experience this as one of the other characters in the story, one of the minor characters, you know, that's kind of implied. And thinking about the story from the nursemaid's point of view. How the nursemaid reflects, I was hired when the older son was born. I've known him all his life. I cared for him from his infancy, feeding him and changing him and watching him learn and grow. And then his younger brother was born, and his mother died giving birth to him. And so I became his wet nurse. From the beginning, that older boy resented the younger one. From the beginning, they had completely different personalities. You know how it is with kids. They just come out different. The younger one was impulsive, quick to take risks, lavish with his attention and his affection, but heedless of cost to himself or to others for the choices that he made. He was selfish, but he was also easy to love because he was just out there, you know, wore his heart on his sleeve. The older one was cautious, careful both with his money and with his emotions, counting the cost of everything, always worried that there would not be enough, always afraid of losing what he had. And I watched their father with him. Their father was so generous and loving. He gave both of the boys his love and his attention. And he was generous with us workers, too. We always had enough and more than enough. Then boss included us in every party. It was unusual that way. What happened? How did it all go so wrong? Their father did everything he could to show them how much he loved them. He taught them how to work. He cared for them. He spent time with them. He set boundaries. He gave them rules for their own goods to shape them into the people that he hoped they would be. But they were both of them, so focused on what they wanted that they couldn't see their father's love. The older saw obeying his father's rules as the path to getting money and approval from his father. And mostly he was kind of waiting for his father to die so he could inherit all that wealth. You know? He wanted to make sure there was as much of it possible left when his father finally kicked the bucket. And somehow, he never saw how much his father loved him, how much his father really longed for a deep relationship with him, because he was just doing his duty and waiting and kind of resenting his father, you know, all along. The younger brother, of course, saw all those rules as just ridiculous restraints on his freedom. He couldn't see the point of them. And they both of them made friends that brought out their worst qualities. And I thought, how much, as I watched them grow, I thought, you know, how I was trying to shape them, but I was just the nursemaid and nobody paid attention to me. And how much they needed a community. How much they needed a community to help them grow into the people they needed to be. But no, they found their friends, and their friends were trouble. The older boy's friends deepened his resentments, and the younger boy's friends encouraged him to party. And boy, did he love to party. We were all pretty shocked when the younger boy demanded his inheritance from his dad. Boy, that's a shameful kind of thing to do. Dad, you're not dead yet, but I want my share. You know, how disrespectful. How disrespectful. Couldn't he see how that hurt his father? But, you know, on the other hand, honestly, in a way, we'd seen it coming for years. It was who he'd been all along, who he'd grown into. And so he took that money and he ran, and he just wanted his own way. He wanted to have a good time. That was all he could ever see. I think, too, having watched him grow, that he was afraid he would never be as good as his brother, that he could never compete, because his older brother always did everything right. How can you compete against that? You know, the guy who follows all the rules, gets his father's praise for doing the job right. That younger brother thought he could never win his father's love. He was so blind. So he just gave up and decided he'd go party and enjoy his life. And his father was devastated when he took off. It was really hard for us to watch as he worried and wondered what was going on with his boy. The first couple of years, he'd hear about him occasionally from friends who'd traveled off and seen him having his party time. But then silence, nothing. And he was sure his boy had fallen into such difficult times that he was dead. It broke our hearts as we watched that father grieve. Boy was gone for years. And that gave the father lots of opportunities to imagine the very worst. Then one day, one of the field workers saw that younger brother stumbling along the road, headed toward home. He ran to tell our boss. Boss's face lit up. He was out the door before I could even remind him to grab a cloak. I had no idea how fast that old man could run. It was amazing. All those years of waiting and worrying, and now his beloved son was coming home, and he ran with outstretched arms. He didn't care about the story. He didn't need to hear the news about what had happened until he had his hands on that boy and could just hug him and welcome him home. He didn't need any words. He just saw his son's face, and his first thought was, "I love you, and I am so glad you're back." I mean, that father knew the boy had done things he was ashamed of. But, you know, he was wearing the price of his life all over his face. He was in rags. He was filthy. But that wasn't what the father saw. He just saw his beloved son. And he hugged him and welcomed him home. And the boy was quick to get his story out. He'd learned a lot from his hard life. He'd begun to see what home looked like in a whole new way. From afar, he could see how generous his father was with everyone, that all of us workers had all we needed. And he'd learned, too, how uncaring a community could be. I mean, once he'd lost everything out there, he told his dad. You know, he'd tried to set it right. He'd gone back to work. He realized, well, you know, I can't just party all my life. I've got to earn a living. And I'll take the lowest, you know, I'll take whatever job I can find. It's low. I know everybody'd be disgusted. I mean, you know, we don't do pigs. But if that's what I got to do. But nobody cared out there that he was hungry. Nobody helped him. He didn't even get his pay. Of course, there was a famine, and resources were scarce. And isn't that how we respond when resources are scarce? A lot of us just don't share. There was a whole community out there that failed that younger son. But he learned how much he needed his father's love. And he came home. And together, they could start to rebuild his life. Because that boy had the rest of his life in front of him. I wonder what he's going to make of it. Well, the boss was just so full of joy. He gave all of us orders right away. Get to work. Get the best clothes out. Get the fatted calf ready. We are going to have a party like you have never seen before. This is celebration time. We're all going to fix the feast, and then we're all going to celebrate. And we did. You know, because all of us were filled with joy. I was filled with joy, too. So were all the other workers. Most of us had known this boy for his whole life. He was coming home to a whole community that loved him. And so we were all excited and ready to join that party. We loved him too. We were so glad, both for his sake and for our boss's sake, that he was home. But his brother, oh, his brother, he couldn't see anything except his own jealousy and fear. His own worry, that there wasn't enough money or enough love to go around. Surely if his father loved that younger brother, he couldn't love the older one too. And every penny that his father spent on that younger brother was coming out of his inheritance now, right? Because the other brother had already had his share. Now the father was spending his money, the older brother's money, on that wasteful, selfish son. As far as he could see, more love for his younger brother meant less love for him. It never occurred to him that he might love his brother too. You know, both of them were lost, really. Both of them were lost, even though only one of them physically left home. The father loved the older brother just as much as the younger brother. But that boy just couldn't see it. I hope that he can hear now what his father told him. Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. I hope he can hear how much his father loves him too. How really true it is that everything he has belongs to him and has all along. I hope he can learn what love means, that he can learn his father's love, and that he can learn his brother's love, and he can let himself really be part of a community of love. I guess we'll just have to wait and see whether either one of those boys can let their father love them. One thing I know for sure, that father will never, ever give up on either one of those boys. He loves them both with all of his heart, and nothing in all the world will ever change that. Thanks be to God.